Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So a little earlier this week, a few days ago, I had a conversation with someone who mentioned that we tend to look differently in the mirror than when we see a picture of ourselves, right? And I wonder why that is. Maybe it's lighting, maybe it's how we want to see ourselves, who knows? But in the course of this conversation, she noted that when I look in the mirror, I see, you know, a very dignified salt and pepper hair. And a face that certainly doesn't look as old as it may be. But then she was with a family member and looking at a picture. And she said, "Who is that old lady beside you?" "Well, that's you. Who's that old lady with that white hair?" Friends, the mirror doesn't always tell the full story, does it? Neither does the picture that's taken. We don't always look the way that we think we do, or particularly the way that we want to look. The perception is quite different than the reality sometimes, and I do believe the same can be said about our Christianity. We think of our faith as one thing, but the reality could be different. Or perhaps we can look at a version of Christianity that we want to have, that we strive to, but maybe that isn't quite what Scripture has to say. Well, today is All Saints Sunday. We remember those who have gone on before us. We look at the example of Jesus Christ and so many of the other saints, but when we read Scripture, particularly the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, we read the pinnacle, the height of ethical and moral thought that the world has ever seen. The Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the height of ethical and moral thought that the world has ever seen. You know, it's been said, even this is not unique to me, that there's nothing clearer even in terms of ethics that the world has ever seen. For example, let me just take a bit of the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 5, there is that famous refrain of Jesus where he says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Right? We remember that. We've read it before. In chapter 5, he says, "You have heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you have anger in your heart toward another, or if you insult another, you are liable to the same judgment as murder." Now, I can pretty safely say that I have never committed the criminal act of murder. I'm glad to say that. But I cannot say that I haven't been angry at someone else. I cannot say that I haven't insulted someone else. Therefore, what Jesus is telling us in the Sermon on the Mount is that I am liable to the same judgment as the one who commits the criminal act of murder. Because I have been angry at another. Because I have insulted another. You see, the bar of expectation for morality had been lowered so much over the years. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus restores the bar of expectation back to where God intended for it to be. And this is cause for reflection for us today. Where is the bar of expectation? So this morning, we read the very first passage in the Sermon on the Mount, the very first passage in this great lesson in morality, Jesus going up the side of a mountain in order to speak to a very large crowd who had been following him. And as a teacher of that time would have done, he went up a little bit on the side of the mountain, and he takes his place and he sits down so that the people are seated at his feet. This is the way teachers and students operated at that time. And he taught them. It says he opened his mouth and he taught them. First, with who it is that is blessed. Who are those who are blessed? There's this list of 9 Beatitudes. Beatitudes, that simply means a person who is blessed, those who are blessed. There is this list of 9 Beatitudes. It is in it, I see a description of 3 groups of people. I want to tell you about those descriptions that I see. The first group of people that we see described in the Beatitudes are those we meet along the way in this life, as we journey toward eternal life. The blessed ones are those who desire to know Jesus with a closeness that the world cannot provide. They're the ones who, despite the distractions of the things going on around them and culture and society and everything else, they still look to Jesus and still see that he's there, that he is sovereign, that he is real. They are the ones that they're the people that we see on a daily basis who have joy in their hearts, who bring peace, who care about mercy and compassion. Now, they are the opposite of those who experience worldly, great financial levels of success, you know, business tycoons and authoritarians and politicos, authority accumulators, slumlords, drug traffickers, and the like. The blessed ones that we meet along the way in this life are the ones who see the bar, the raised bar of Jesus, and know that we cannot possibly keep his commandments and his example because not one of us are the Savior. And in fact, all of us need the Savior. The only one who could keep the commandments the way that they're supposed to be kept, the only one who could live the example that Jesus lived, was Jesus himself. And then the second group of people that we see described here in the Beatitudes are those who have gone on before us. Today is All Saints Day, and we celebrate that. We celebrate those who have gone on before us and await for us in the glory of heaven, the saints in light, as you have heard it said many times. And as the author of Hebrews writes, those are the great saints in Scripture, and particularly some of the Old Testament prophets and figures like Noah and Abraham and Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Samson, David, Samuel, all of these. Even though they were broken, they were sinful human beings, had faith to believe and to be obedient to God by always returning to him. This is what the author of Hebrews calls the great cloud of witnesses. And we also know from individuals in our own lives, right? Even though sinners, that we could include in that great cloud of witnesses, those who were not afraid to share their faith with us, those who have prayed for us, those who diligently read the words of Scripture, those who give the great examples for us to live up to. The second group of people that I see described in the Beatitudes are those who have gone on before us and are currently receiving that great reward. And then I would like to suggest a third group as described in the Beatitudes. I do believe that these nine verses should be a description of the clergy in our churches. Should be a description of the clergy in our churches. Yes, we have other places in Scripture where there are the qualifications of clergy are explicitly listed and arranged in Titus chapter 1 or 1 Timothy chapter 3 or even Ephesians 5 and 6. There are other places where it's sort of explicitly laid out the qualifications of clergy. I would like to suggest that the Beatitudes, that because the Beatitudes are the greatest example from Jesus, that this is especially so for those who are ordained. And I was reminded pretty clearly this morning as I was getting ready for our time today of what I was charged with by the bishop at my own ordination to be a priest. This is from the ordinal that comes from the Book of Common Prayer. When the priest is being ordained, he is charged in the exhortation to remember how great is this treasure committed to your charge. They are the sheep of Christ for whom he shed his blood. The church and congregation whom you will serve is his bride, his body. If the church or any of her members is hurt or hindered by your negligence, you must know both the gravity of your fault and the grievous judgment that will result. The Beatitudes should be a representative example for all clergy. And this is the sacrificial example, especially those of us ordained in the Anglican churches, are to strive, to be blessed. And I do fear that some have forgotten these charges and examples. The world, the flesh, and the devil abound. They compete. And they distract continually, even clergy. The prowling, pathetic Satan will stop at nothing for your heart, and especially for the hearts of the clergy. So, a return to the raised bar of Jesus is the only answer and the only hope. He already shed his blood. He already died and rose victorious. He already won the battle and decided the end. And we all have the choice to believe in him or not, to believe that the words he said are true or not, clergy included. Not only to believe in the words that Jesus spoke, not only to believe in the words of Scripture, but to actually allow them to transform us further and further into his image. The image of the suffering servant. Again, I see three groups described in these Beatitudes. Those we meet along the way in life that set the example. Those who have gone on before us who also set the example. And for all clergy who should be setting the example. Friends, we may not always like what we see in the mirror or in pictures. And what we see might be quite different than the reality. But the greater reality in all of this is that Christ took on flesh so that our gray hairs will be made new and our hearts will be more like his. In service to others, always before ourselves, and in sacrificial love of others, always before our own desires. So may all of us indeed be blessed and rejoice in the redeeming words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, through great humility and even suffering as the Lord sees fit. Amen.
All the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense. All the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart. To your heart. All the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense. All the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart. To your heart. Oh, let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense. Let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense to your heart. Oh, let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense. Let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense to your heart. All the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense. Are the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart. To your heart. Are the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense. Are the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart. To your heart. Oh, let these songs of the saints be sweet-smelling incense. Let these songs of the saints be sweet-smelling incense to your heart. Oh, let these songs of the saints be sweet-smelling incense. Let these songs of the saints be sweet-smelling incense to your heart. To your heart. To your heart. To your